The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn.
Very happy to have back on the show Michael Holland, chairman and founder of Holland & Co. How's your summer going, Mike?
Great so far, Kathleen.
Well, lots of volatility to keep you busy.
It's always interesting. It's never dull.
You know, before we get into the market and the jobs report tomorrow, we've been talking a fair amount on the show today about the LIBOR scandal.
Yes.
The fixed fixing of this very important rate. You've been on Wall Street forever. You've worked at all kinds of big firms. What do you think? What happened? What's going on?
Best guess from the outside, Kathleen, is a series of events that came together and blew up, as they sometimes do at a big firm, a point at which you can turn around and say there are 2 or 3 or 12 people out of tens of thousands who did something really, really crummy. But a lot of the other people were relatively innocent bystanders who get caught in the collateral fire and collateral damage occurs. And I think I was at Solomon Brothers many years ago when something like this happened. And
The Treasury market scandal.
Yeah, you have a great memory. And you were just in grade school at the
time. That's right, but I was covering the bond market already.
And Warren Buffett had to come in, and I truly believe that the person in charge at that point who lost his job, as Robert Diamond's losing his, truly was not sitting on top of something and said, we're really getting one by those people, aren't we? That wasn't the case at all, but he had to lose his job. And the case here, I think it's analogous. I think it's unfortunate. I think it couldn't come at a worse public relations time for financial service companies, and this isn't over, because I think they probably have to go outside to get someone, because the PR of it, the prism through which people look at these things, is you have to bring someone in from the outside to cure the problem. So that's kind of where it's going.
But Michael, isn't there something wrong, though, with, you know, hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of securities being referenced, having their interest rate referenced to something that's a hypothetical? I mean, it's an opinion. What you know, LIBOR has... It's basically the opinion of several bankers, and you take out the top and you take out the bottom, and what's left is LIBOR for the day.
You described it accurately, Fani. I think this is the way it's always been done, and you ask why. You say that's the answer, because it's always been done that way. Is that the right way to have done it? Well, it worked for a while, and I think there actually was a code of honor. Please don't laugh or snicker among these people who used to do these things, and they actually kind of did them ethically and correctly. Sometimes things just progress to a point where you stand back and say, this doesn't make any sense. And probably, as you say, looking forward, things will be done differently.
Well, and in fact, I call me kooky, but that's a point I always try to include in these discussions, because many of us are angry at bankers and big banks and feel there should be changes. But I also think it's so important for people to realize there are all kinds of, like, really hardworking, honest people in the financial services industry. Some of them even run these firms, but certainly a lot of the rank and file, they go to work, they do their jobs every day. They're not a part of this. They don't necessarily know about it. They probably don't. But everybody gets painted with the same brush these days.
That's right, Kathleen. It's a symbol of the times. It happens every bad market cycle, every bad economic cycle, and you do find people who did things wrong, as you say. But the vast majority of the people are people who just do their jobs, and they had nothing to do. The worst example starting this thing out several years ago was the Enron Arthur Andersen thing, where you had a firm. Arthur Andersen had maybe 10 people or 15 people who were involved in the Enron thing, and the firm actually was put out of business, and 10,000 people lost their jobs. And I'm going to say 9,985 of those people probably had no clue what was going on in the Enron thing. Unfortunately, we've had this awful thing since 2008. Many things have happened. There are bad people doing bad things, but it's a very small fraction. But they do get the headlines, and they really get our rap. I mean, we're all angry at this stuff. You know, Bernie Madoff did some stuff that, you know, you just, and the people who didn't catch him, you know, what was going on, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the kinds of things that really get people going.
Well, and the other thing that leaves a little bit of a bad taste here, Michael, is the Paul Tucker element. The Bank of England governing official who had a phone call apparently with the COO or somebody at the bank, and basically sort of may or may not have hinted that perhaps Barclays might want to lower its LIBOR because it was giving a bad impression to the market. I mean, how do you ever get to the bottom of this, and should central bank officials even be having conversations on the telephone or emails with these top officials at banks?
Well, Vani, I think you've once again touched on something that in the future is going to be different than the past. I think the conversation, just as you described it, is something at the very least makes people uncomfortable. At the very worst, makes people become suspicious as to the whole motivation of the thing. And I think that we had the same thing with people who were working in the enforcement area at the SEC with Madoff and so on, and people who were told things. And so I think actually they're part of this, you know, some of it's really important. Part of this is actually very healthy because it will actually cause things to get better. It does every cycle. It'll cleanse things out, but there will be an overreaction as well.
Michael Holland, he is the chairman and founder of Holland & Co. So as for the stock market, again, big picture, what's going on? Where are we? Is this a market that's going to lose ground over the rest of the summer, going into fall and the elections? Is this a market with a little upside surprise in it?
It's interesting, Kathleen, the way you pose the question, because I think it's well positioned to capture the current psychological mood of the markets around the world, and that is negative. People are afraid. They are skeptical at best as a group, and therefore you have pricing in the world's markets reflecting that, both on the fixed income side as well as the equity side, meaning that in the equity side, the likely surprise going through the end of the year is not negative, because people expect Europe to come totally unraveled. Armageddon will be a word that we will hear from time to time throughout our lifetimes as it relates to problems like Europe. On the one hand, on the other hand, China may be slow. You have all of the headlines, but those are all priced in. And I think that should China, for example, with the surprise rate decision today, surprise us a little bit to the upside going into the end of the year, which I was there over there a couple of weeks ago in Hong Kong. I actually believe that's going to happen. I think the government once again will be successful in China at doing what they said they will do. 2008, they said they would stimulate. They did. In 2010, they said we're too hot. We're going to slow down. They did. I think now that they say they're going to do it again, it's going to happen. But that's my own bet. In Europe, I think they've shown some political progress. It's small, but it's at least progress. So that's a possibility that may not be as ugly at the end of the year. And the U.S. economy, if we do get some movement in Washington of whatever kind that's positive, these would all be positive surprises. The market's set up for the negative to continue if we get positive surprises. Tomorrow, if we get 110,000 instead of 90,000 jobs, I think the market goes up a lot. How's that?
I like Michael, it. When do you think China, you said China will cut one more time, did you say before the end of the year? Or
no, I didn't say that, Bonnie, but I think they just did their second cut here, which was a surprise today, and the PBOC did, and I think we will get more, and I think they will continue to, you know, they more important than that, Bonnie, they changed the banking strictures, so they made more money available through the banking sources. Lending over there is actually fairly significant thing. Here it doesn't matter quite so much what the Fed does over there, because they actually have real economic activity and real interest rates. They actually do have a banking function that makes a difference. So when they loosen things up, they do actually get more economic activity. It's really interesting.
And Michael, go ahead. Do you buy that this is a market that's addicted to liquidity, and that if we don't keep getting it, that we'll suddenly see a drop off?
Well, I think if we didn't have liquidity, it could even be lower. It's hard to imagine how much lower. And again, going back to this is a worldwide phenomenon. The markets are correlated, Bonnie. The Chinese market, you know, it's the world's second largest market, the fastest growing of the large markets by far, economies, is 8 times earnings. Now, that's just a crazy number. The U.S. market, same way. We just have crazy low valuations. But they're here despite the fact we have all this liquidity. You know, how much lower could they go with no liquidity? They would go lower. I just don't know how much lower.
What parts of the market do you like?
Well, I think that since everything has been marked down in terms of the equity markets around the world. The world leaders, the quality names, the quality franchises are trading as if they were really bad merchandise, and so that's crazy. So you take advantage of the stuff that's on sale. You see Apple today just trading up over 600. Well, gee, that sounds really high, except you realize that next year, in the coming year, they're going to earn over $50. That's 12 times earnings for one of the iconic names of our lifetimes, which looks as if it's not losing all of its mojo just today. They're coming out with a new iPad mini. But you go through, whether it's the premier names in China or in Europe, the financial stocks, which are leading today, Kathleen, I think are a great example of people just throwing in the towel on prices. And you have names like J.P. Morgan, Barclays is in the bullseye right now. I think it's probably, I don't own it, but I own J.P. Morgan, but I think that if you took a look at Barclays today, it's probably selling at a crazy valuation on the downside.
But there's concern that without the strong, effective leadership they've had, this company's going to stumble. Didn't they get downgraded today?
Absolutely. Great example of where we are in this cycle. I think as I saw the downgrades from the agencies, from the rating agencies, my first reaction was, if history is a guide, now is the time to buy, because the rating agencies have downgraded them. Once they get the downgrade from the rating agencies, it's usually too late to sell. And I think I think they will get leadership, probably from outside, and probably will exist 5 years from now, probably at a higher price.
We haven't heard from many of them, though, Michael, whether they have set aside reserves or not for any litigation that might come out of this LIBOR scandal. Are you concerned that they might see huge costs associated with this and will have to write down? And also this other sort of troubling thing that JP Morgan is getting probed for, this energy business, some kind of energy market manipulation.
Yeah, I think first of all, I'm not an expert on Barclays by any stretch. I don't own the stock. But I do believe that they will have continuing, the lawyers are going to have a lot of fun with these companies over the next couple of years. So I think Jamie Dimon actually said that a year or two ago. He said he expects that these kind of legal things are going to be going on for some time into the future. And I think the thing like the energy thing with Morgan will be part of the future. And that's why people have thrown in the towel in terms of the valuations for these companies. I think that these are at very low valuations, and I think a very realistic view is to say, just as you have, you know what, they deserve them because they have a lot of troubles
in
front of them.
Quickly, Michael, we had a story last week. Michael Price, who was one of the big forces behind the universal banks coming together in the United States nearly 20 years ago, now saying time for the boards to sell off assets, unlock value. Doesn't that put some of these big banks at risk?
It puts them in the just what you said, Kathleen. If the unlocking value means that they spin out things that get more value for the shareholders, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So if they continue, as Michael Price said, if they continue to sell at these huge discounts to their asset value, it's like Berkshire Hathaway with Warren Buffett. If the pieces are worth more separate than they are together, then you go ahead and do it and unlock the shareholder
value.
Another
reason why you say they're on sale and maybe worth looking at?
That's what Michael Price is saying, and I agree with it.
Michael Holland, Michael Price, thank you for joining us. Michael Holland, never enough time with you, sir. Come back soon. Mike Holland, chairman and founder of Holland & Company.
You can listen to The Hayes Advantage weekdays at 12:30 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.